If you have your Bibles tonight, which I hope you do, please turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, and we'll read this whole entire chapter. I hope you're excited for next week with the combined service. I know it's not our norm, and I know it's change. And when you say change to Baptist, it's like people hold their breath. Don't hold your breath that long. You need to breathe, folks. And the old saying is, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? And everybody stands around. Change? Why do we need to change a light bulb? But anyway, just I hope you're excited for that, to let it be a blessing to you. Book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. I'll read this, and we'll go into prayer. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Now, I got to stop here because I got to emphasize on this word dispensation. It's something that I have become very familiar with in the last 5 years. I actually had, when I went back and finished all my schooling, I actually had to write a report on a dispensation. And to be honest with you folks, I had no clue what it was. Dispensation, what we're talking about here, is something that's been dealt with already in the Old Testament, and now we are in a different dispensation. We are in the age of grace here. So Paul goes on here in verse number 3, he says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us to gather back once again. Lord, we ask tonight that you once again begin to minister to our hearts. Challenge us from your word, Lord. Help us to learn something new tonight that you would want us to learn. Help us to walk out of here, Lord, being better equipped to serve you and saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord, tonight we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for your blessings and for your grace and your mercy that you continuously bestow upon us daily. Lord, we ask that you just again be with us in your name. Amen. Now, as we just read here from the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, we read a quite lengthy passage here. And so now it is time for me to go back and to begin to explain what we just read. The title of this message tonight is, if you saw this in Scripture, you'll understand, the mystery. What is the mystery? Do you realize tonight that there are mysteries in the Word of God that are hidden that, I like what Brother Sean said a few weeks ago, we need to search the Scripture to see what the mystery is all about. because not everything has been revealed to us or will be revealed to us. And so we need to search the scripture. And so the first thing that we're going to look at here tonight is the church. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." The last two chapters that we have gone through, we have been shown what the church is, what it has been made of, and what it consists of. And just to rehearse this real quick with you, we have gone over the church is the body, and last week we dealt with the church is the temple. So now we're going to go on to a different part of what the church is. But now Paul begins this half of the letter. There's only six chapters here in the book of Ephesians, and now we're in chapter number 3, and we're beginning to dwindle down with his letter that he has written to them. And again, this is an unusual letter that he is writing. And so we begin this half of the letter by stating his current situation that he is in. What do we know about Paul? Where did he spend a majority of his life? It wasn't at Motel 6. It wasn't at the Red Roof Inn. It was in prison. That's where he spent a majority of his time. And that's where he began to be a help, and that's where he began to be an encouragement to these churches. Paul did not allow his time to pass away by just sitting in a prison cell, just counting down the days. Paul made his time he was accountable for his time. He wanted to be a help to those that were around him. Why? Because throughout his life, he had the privilege to go from many different towns to start churches. And those churches were ongoing at this point in time. And he would hear of the things that would begin to take place in these churches. And because of this, his heart was heavy. And so he had to send out letters again of harshness at times. And then there's letters that he would send out of letters of encouragement. And read through the whole book of Philippians, you'll see a whole letter of encouragement there. But now he states his condition that he is in. Paul was a prisoner. My father last night, he was giving this nurse a hard time. He says, she was talking about how big our family was. And he says, "Yeah, not everybody can be here." And she goes, oh, why is that? And he goes, "Well, because one of them's in Alabama. He's in jail." And you know my father's dry sense of humor. Well, I have his dry sense of humor, and I picked it up right away. I said, "Yeah, ma'am." I go, he's been away now for 15 years, and he's got another 15 years to go. My dad, he's trying not to chuckle. I can see it. And she was buying into this, but we all know that he's not a prisoner. He is a guard there, but he oversees prisoners. And they're there for a reason, and they're there because they have lost their privilege in society. They have committed a crime of some sort or another. They have possibly probably killed somebody. They possibly have kidnapped somebody, or they probably committed a horrendous bank robbery, things that they've gotten caught, and now they're doing time. And they've lost their privileges in life, and so they're spending a majority of their time there. But Paul here, the only crime that Paul is committed of here is an unusual crime. And that crime is giving the gospel to who? To the Gentiles. That's what he was accused of in his ministry. And so because of this, he spent a majority of his time in prison for taking the gospel to the Gentiles. By the way, I must say this, Paul didn't go to the Gentiles at first. Every time he went into the town, what did he do? Where did he go first? He always sought to go to the Jews. But as he went to the Jews to give the gospel, guess what happened? The Jews rejected his teaching. Now, they weren't rejecting him. They weren't rejecting the gospel. They were rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what was taking place here. So the crime that he committed, the crime that they accused him of, was a crime that was giving the gospel to the Gentiles. Think about that. Think about what he would face in the days to come being in prison. Now, the prison cells that we have today are very luxurious compared to the ones that he was in. And they didn't have the commodities that they have today. They didn't have the privileges that they would have today, being able to go outside and lift weights and play basketball, get an education, and things of that nature. They did some hard, harsh times back then. But yet, again, he's there because he gave the Gentiles the gospel. So after going to the Jews, after the Jews rejected the gospel, he went right to the Gentiles. I say this, praise God for the boldness that Paul had every time he went to a town to give the gospel. He wasn't about to be turned away because somebody didn't want to hear the gospel. Hey, if they rejected, guess what he did? He'd go right to the next group. Okay, this group's going to take it, so I'm going to go there. But he always presented it to the Jews first. What I get from this is the fact that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed to go around from town to town or from person to person and to give out the gospel. Boy, think about the opportunities that we pass up in our lives. One, because we're probably ashamed. Well, they might make fun of me. Well, can I say this? Who cares? Who cares if they make fun of you? Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow night, I have the privilege to stand before a group of people. Once again, I have a funeral that I got to do tomorrow evening. And I'm going to be with some folks that have never heard the gospel. I'm going to be with some folks that are probably going to hell. But you know what? I'm going to go in there and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give them an opportunity to accept the Lord as their Savior. And I tell you what, that is a great responsibility that you and I have. Why do we have that? Because again, go back and Christ has entrusted us with the gospel. And so because of that, we are to give it out. And so Paul, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He proudly displayed it. And thank God for that. He had remembered what God had done for him in his life. Paul was able to explain here in verse number 2 the dispensation of the gospel that we are living in, and that is the age of grace. The old dispensation that he's talking about here was that of the law. Again, the Old Testament was written for the Jews. We have to understand that tonight. It was written for the Jews. And now that dispensation has been closed. And that has been done and that has been dealt with. And now we are living in a different dispensation, and that is the age of grace. We're still going through that, which leads me to my next point that I want to get through tonight, the grace age. The grace age has brought about changes that people at this point in time were not familiar with it. Why were they not familiar with it? Well, it's because they were ones that were creatures of habit. They were ones that would try to abide by the law. They're the ones that would do everything according to the law. If it pertained to them and they liked it, they would pick and choose the laws that they liked, and they would do those things. And so when it came to this dispensation, the grace of ace, they had no idea, they had no concept of what it was about. And the age of grace that we live in today is a grace, an age that God has offered us salvation. We are able to go to him directly. There's no longer a veil between us. Go back to the law. Who did they go to back in the day? They went to the priest, did they not? They were not even allowed to go into the temple. And so this here is very confusing to them with this age of grace. This type of preaching, this style of preaching that Paul was doing was very different than what they were used to. It was foreign to them. And so he was able to explain the things that were beginning to happen. The grace age has brought us about a new place to where we are able to worship, to which, why, to some people this time, was a mystery to them. Well, what is this mystery that is being talked about here in verse number 3 and verse number 4? It says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." The mystery being talked about here in these first verse 3 and verse number 4 was not revealed in the Old Testament. It was mentioned and hinted around, but it was not talked about in this way, shape, and form. And now Paul will have a great opportunity, and he will be able to explain this mystery, which I call a divine secret. God knew all along what this was and what it was all about. And he was revealing this to Paul. God at all times knew about the mystery. He knew what the mystery was. He knew exactly when it was going to be revealed. He knew exactly what events would have to take place before it was revealed. But it wasn't until, we have to understand this, it wasn't until the New Testament where he was going to reveal it. Because again, it had nothing to do with the law. It had nothing to do with that old dispensation. It had everything to do with the dispensation that we're living in, and that's the age of grace. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God is still gracious to us. Amen. You know, you realize tonight, we're still here tonight because of God's grace. You know, I often wonder, why didn't God come back 5 years ago? Why didn't God come back 20 years ago? I'll tell you this, because of God's grace. He is still giving people many opportunities to accept his son as Lord and Savior in their life. I tell you what, that is tremendous grace. And I'm thankful that we are able to live in this day and age. I'm thankful that he didn't come back 30 years ago, because if it was 30 years ago, I wouldn't have been saved. And so I'm thankful that I'm able at this time in the age of grace, I was able to call out upon him. But what is this mystery that Paul is talking about here? Verse number 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. But you go back to verse number 2, it says, how by the revelation made known unto me the mystery. You would think at this point in time, reading that verse first, that it was only Paul who knew about it. Well, we jump down to verse number 5. It says, which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles. So it's obvious now, not only did Paul know about the mystery of Christ, what was taking place, but there were other apostles who knew about this. And verse number 5 shows us this. But notice here at the end of verse number 5, it says, and the prophets by who? By the Spirit. So what does that tell us in Scripture? It tells us that the mystery that is being revealed to Paul and the apostle is being revealed to them by no other than the Holy Spirit. What other great teacher that we have than having the Holy Spirit teaching us things? Amen? And it wasn't until the New Testament where we are able to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? And we look back in the Old Testament, we would see some things that happened to Saul, and now we're seeing the events take place here. And so at this point in time, we see the Spirit that is teaching these men, who is revealing to them the mystery that is going to be known to them, and eventually it's going to be known to the whole world. Well, what was the mystery at this point in time? The mystery wasn't salvation, because people knew, even in the Old Testament, it talked about the Gentiles will be saved. It talks about the son of Jesse. It talks about his root, and it goes on with many other scriptures where it talks about salvation to the Gentiles. So it wasn't salvation that they were dealing with here with this great mystery. The Old Testament taught on that on many occasions. But the mystery here is, you ready for this? The mystery here is referring to that of the church. They didn't have the church back then. The church didn't exist until the day of Pentecost. And that is the great mystery that is being revealed to them at this point in time. Yes, it was talked about in the Old Testament as a future event that would take place. And now it has come to pass that on the day of Pentecost, the church began, and that happened after Christ had returned to heaven. So now the church, we see here, this great mystery that has been revealed to them is the church. The church now is made up both of Jew and Gentile. What do we know back in the Old Testament? It was basically consisted of who? It was consisted of the Jew. And so now we're into a different age. We're into a different dispensation here. And now we see here, because of salvation, because of what events took place on the day of Pentecost, now the church has begun, and now we see two groups that are going to come together and they're able to worship together. Now, this is going to be hard at first, because you have one person holding on to the law, and then you have another group of people holding on to the age of grace. And so it took a great teacher to bring these folks together to be able to explain some things. Even Peter, when Peter would go out and preach, he would be confused on some things. He would begin to do the things of the Jews, and then he'd go out and do some things of the Gentiles, and he would cause confusion. And what happened along the way? Well, Paul had to come in. Paul had to intercede and correct Peter, in a sense, and say, hey, Peter, you're wrong in this area. And so now we see the church is made up both Jew, it's Gentile. And what do we see at the realm of the church? Christ is the head of the church. And he is the one that leads the church. He is the one who guides the church. He is the one who protects the church. The amazing thing here is God took a man that we use for examples on many different occasions in our life through Sunday school lessons and other things of that nature. But God took a man who brought great persecution to the church. He caused havoc for the church. He was a part of Stephen's martyr. He was a part of those things, and people were afraid of him, and people were scared of him. But God, along the way, changed the life of one individual, and this individual began to change the course of history. Why is that? Through the power of God. through the grace that we are talking about here with this dispensation that we are dealing with here. So God took a man who persecuted the church, he changed his life, and then look what takes place. It took him to a different place here in verse number 7, where before he was going about throwing people in jail, murdering people, and now because of this grace that he's received from God, it says in verse number 7, it says, whereof I was made a minister. And so now Paul, his whole future has been changed. His whole entire outlook on life has been changed. And so no longer is he going from house to house trying to find out who a believer is and put them in jail and possibly persecute them in one way, shape, or form. But now he's concerned about their soul. Why? Because he's a minister. So now he's able to go back and go out into the town and correct the mistakes that he made earlier on in life. Well, how does he correct those mistakes? Well, now he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells them how great Christ is. He tells them about Christ's great love. He tells them about Christ's great salvation that he has for this. But even Paul here in verse number 8 and verse number 9, it says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul even describes it here that he's not even worthy of this. He realizes that he has fallen short of this, but God, because of his great love, made him worthy. Do you realize before Christ, we're worthless? We're worthless individuals. And now, because we have Christ in our life, we're worth something, amen? We're valuable. We might not be worth something or valuable to somebody else, but Christ sees us as somebody that's valuable. Christ sees us as somebody that's profitable. And so now Christ has made Paul worthy. Well, what's the purpose of the mystery that we are talking about here? The church has given us a place to help us understand the mysteries of God. Verses 10 through 11, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church here now that we know the function, now that we know that the mystery has been revealed, there are some things that are going to take place in the church to help us begin to understand what the purpose of the church is. What's the purpose of this ministry? And so Paul begins to explain this. In the church, God begins to reveal his great love for us. That's one purpose of this mystery. He begins to show us and how much he loves us. He begins to show us these things. In the church, God has given us a place to learn of his wisdom that is talking about here in verse number 10 to help us better understand him. Why do we need wisdom to understand God? Because again, go back to scripture, his thoughts are above my thoughts. And I don't have the intellect and I don't have the wisdom or the knowledge to begin to understand who God is and what he is and what he stands for. But I can tell you this, because I will search scripture, because I will listen to the scripture, I will listen to the word, God is going to give me the wisdom to reveal to me the things that are about him, to where I can understand the mysteries that he has to reveal to us. So he's given us the church as a purpose for us to come in to learn of his great love, to learn that we can understand what his wisdom is. And has also given us a place to help lives, to help us to realize that we need to have boldness. Verse number 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Tonight we have and should have the boldness in Christ. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should not be ashamed to approach an individual and let them know how Christ loves them and how Christ wants them in their life. We should go to that individual because Christ has given us that boldness to do so. All we have to do, we might sit there and say, well, I don't have the boldness. Well, ask for it. We have not because we ask not. Scripture says that very clearly and plainly. And so if you want to have boldness, then ask for boldness. Well, you might sit there and say, well, I don't know what to say. Can I rehearse this to you? You're not going in there alone. See, we think that we're going into an individual's house all by ourselves. Tomorrow night, I might be walking to that place by myself physically, but I have the Holy Spirit on my side. to deliver a message that needs to go to the people so that they can hear the message of salvation that they need to hear. It's not about me going in there. It's about the Holy Spirit being with me. He's right there. He's right there every step of the way. Well, I don't know what to say. You don't have to worry about what to say. Just open your mouth. He's going to fill it in for you. Trust me. He does that to me all the time. You guys see how I trip over my words and how I can't pronounce anything and how I can't say things. But the Holy Spirit keeps my mouth going. Amen? So we ought to have boldness when talking to others. Why is this so important? Because we have the opportunity, God has given us the opportunity, a great privilege here, the freedom of speech. Have boldness. We have the freedom of speech to talk to other individuals. Take advantage of that situation. And it is a place for us to pray, a point number five that I like to make here tonight. Verses 14 through 21, Paul is coming to an end on this particular part of this letter here. It's not the end of the whole entire letter, but right now he's coming to an end with this thing he's dealing with here. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Not only is it a place for us to come in here to learn about God, but it is also a place for us to come in here to where we can gather as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray, to meet with God, to have him ask, to leave our petitions at his feet and have him work on our behalf. It's not just meant for worship, but it's given us a place to pray. We might sit there and think, well, what do we pray for and how do we pray? Just open up your mouth. Just act like it's just you and God in the room. Don't worry about any other individual that's around you. You're not talking to them. You're talking to the Holy Spirit. And that's all that matters. And so now Paul here, he goes on and he ends this part of the letter by praying for these folks. But he's got four things that he wants to mention to them while he is in prayer. His prayer focuses in four areas in their life that he is concerned about. And we will see these things here in Scripture. Verse number 16, the first thing that he prays for is here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the first thing, he wants us to be strengthened, meaning don't neglect the spiritual condition that you need in your life. Don't focus on the bodily condition, but I want you to focus on the spiritual condition. I want you to be strengthened spiritually. And so he goes on and prays for that, number one. He goes on in verse number 17. He prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He prays that Christ may have a dwelling place in your heart. Boy, what a great place for Christ to be in your life. Amen? Is in your heart. I stand before you tonight. I would not know where I'd be tonight if it wasn't for Christ dwelling within me. I would probably be in some bar tonight. Or I might be addicted to drugs somewhere. I might have maybe multiple wives. I don't know. But I'm thankful tonight that I got a God who dwells within my heart, who's changed my path. And so he prays for this for these folks. He prays in verse number 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints. And so he prays that we're able to have a comprehension of the vastness of God's great love for them. And then finally, verse number 19, he says, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a great prayer that Paul is praying for this church here in Ephesians. He's praying that they would be filled with the fullness of God. This is a man that had desire to see these folks grow and grow and grow in the Lord. And I tell you what, he took some time out to deliver this message to them tonight. And what a great way to end this passage here tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this evening that you've allowed us to be here. Lord, we are here tonight because you love us. We are here tonight because you want us to be here tonight. I'm thankful for that. Lord, bless us as we go from here. Bless in the rest of this week. Be with us as we come back once again. this Wednesday night. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.